Good evening. I read from Mark. On the same day, when evening had come, that's Jesus, said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great wind storm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Let's sing together 504 from the Red Hymn Book. 504.
My sad heart are troubled. Oh, wake up.
Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" What a remarkable story. He rebukes them for being so fearful, but having a greater realization of who he is, they feared exceedingly. You see, when you fear God, you can't fear the storm. Let's just have a few moments of quiet. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening. Many of us are indeed going through squalls and storms, but Lord, we pray, like for the disciples of old, that we might fear you more than the storm. Beholding your power and your majesty, your authority and your sovereignty. Ah, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power. Thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thine outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Lord, this evening we commit the hour to you. We pray that in this hour of simple worship, you might inhabit the praises of your people. That as we look upon your words, you might feed us and strengthen us. That you might delight to hear our prayer, that we might mean what we sing, that you might be glorified thereby. Amen. Amen. 487.
Longing for thy
Amen. Let's turn to God's word. I'm going to read from Paul's second letter to the Corinthian church and the fourth chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'll read from verse 7 to give a degree of context, but I'll preach from verse 16 until the end of verse 18. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So Paul in this chapter has been listing all the trials and the difficulties through which he as a genuine apostle has had to come. Anybody who thinks that, you know, being a Christian or a Christian leader, it's really easy, you know, every time you come to the Red Sea, God parts it, it's great, it's fine, you never get your feet wet. Well, you read this chapter, chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, and you'll soon be disabused of that notion. God's people often suffer. In fact, it's the lot of all human beings to suffer. God's people often suffer more. But I want to look at verses 16, 17, and 18, which of course begins with a therefore. So all that stuff we had between verses 7 and 15 is the reason for not losing heart. To lose heart means to lose hope, to become overcome, to feel down, to feel morose, to have your faith so sorely challenged that you're coming close to giving up. The message tonight is don't give up. And this is why. First of all, though, let's consider the therefore. So Paul is saying, we have difficulty, but it doesn't overcome us. He says in verse 15, grace spreads through the many. Is it not amazing and wonderful to think that God uses pain and hardship to perfect our character? Let's just unpack that for a moment. If our character develops because of pain and hardship, our faith is deepened because of pain and hardship. Pain and hardship aren't all that bad. That is why Paul can tell the Thessalonians, rejoice evermore. We rejoice when things go well. We are sad when things do not go well. Paul says, rejoice evermore. Because if things go well, give glory to God. If things don't go well, still give glory to God, because he uses the bad things for his own wider purpose, our good and his glory. Therefore, we do not lose heart. He then goes on to say, even though our outward man is perishing, we are falling apart. I can see some nods of agreement. If you're enjoying rude health, I'm very glad, but I'm afraid I must tell you, it's not yours to keep. Our bodies are wearing out. Our chapel is wearing out. Our homes are wearing out. Our cars are wearing out. This world is characterized by decay and decline. I don't think Paul is a particularly old man while he pens the letter, but he is beginning to feel the pangs of age. And I dare say all those beatings he's gone through and imprisonments and hardships, which he alluded to in that chapter, have not helped. His outward man, his body, is perishing. It hasn't perished. He's not dead yet. It is perishing. The process of decay is already kicking in. But look what he talks of the inward man, the inner him. The inward man is being renewed. So his body is in decline, but his spirit, the inner man, the Paul that will survive the parting of the body, that is being renewed. And it might be that your body will decline in such a way that you end up in some kind of care home because you cannot look after yourself, as many do, and your body will not get stronger or better. But the promise of God is that he will keep on renewing your inner man. If you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. That spirit of life that was breathed into Adam is at work in you. Not necessarily in your body, but in the you that will outlive the body. The outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed. It keeps on being renewed. You don't just get renewed on Tuesday and then abandoned on Wednesday. You keep on being renewed. That is such an encouragement. And it happens day by day. You have utterly been justified if you're a Christian. You have been declared not guilty of your sin. But the Spirit of God continues to be at work in you, sanctifying you, making you more like Christ, chipping away at that pride, conforming you to his image day by day, day by day. And that work will stop when he calls you home. Because when you see him, you will be like him. Let's just think of that for a moment. If every day, until the day I die, I keep on getting renewed and being made more holy, and then when I die, the work will be complete and I will be with him, that means, does it not, that to live is Christ, to die is gain. If we're in the body, praise God. If he calls us home, praise God even more. In verse 17, he says, for our light affliction, Paul, come. From verse 7, to at least verse 12, he's saying how terrible these afflictions are. Let's just remind ourselves of them. Hard pressed on every side, perplexed, persecuted, struck down, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord. That does not sound light to me. To be afflicted here means to be under great pressure. And yet he describes it as a light affliction. The afflictions he refers to, both in his own life and the afflictions any Christian is likely to endure, are light. Not because they're easy at the time, but because of the period of time they're permitted to operate. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Now you might be sitting in your pew thinking, well, I have several afflictions in my life. Number one, they're not light. Number two, I've been enduring them for more than a moment. Paul is not talking to me. Paul is talking to you, and more importantly, the Holy Spirit is speaking through him. The afflictions and difficulties and trials through which we go in this life are light, because this entire life is but for a moment. Now, I don't want to live till I'm 120. I want to go well before then, thank you very much, but I shall leave such things to the providence of God. It's not mine to determine. But if I lived till 120 and I get my telegram from King George, work that one out, it will have been a very short life. Because compared to the vastness of eternity, 120 summers on this earth is but nothing. And there's no pain in heaven. There's no affliction across the river. Whatever pain and affliction we go through now is only for this life. And this life, my friends, is short. And for any who are not yet saved, it means the opportunity is short. For any who are saved and are enduring pain, it means the affliction is light. Not because the pain is light, but because the duration is light. I'm not yet in the market for a hip operation. I dare say my time will come. But presumably, the only reason that people submit themselves to such a procedure is because they have calculated that the pain inflicted by the surgeon is outweighed by the additional mobility gained as a result. If you thought it wouldn't make any difference, you wouldn't put your name down for the operation, would you? You've performed that calculation. Well, if the pain we go through here is but temporal, and in any event, God uses it for some greater purpose. Verse 16, we do not lose heart. We do not lose heart. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. The picture now is some weighing scales. I have in my home, some of you will not be terribly surprised to hear this, an old Victorian set of scales. And you can have some limited fun and, you know, weighing things. Endless evenings of fascination. But here we have some scales, and we are to put on one side of the balance all the pain and the heartache we go through, either as a regular human being or the additional pain we go through as a Christian. Put that on the scale. But then on the other side, Let's put the exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now, none of us have been to heaven. Occasionally we hear reports online of people who go to heaven and come back and tell us all about it. Let me assure you, when I go to heaven, I'm not coming back. Okay, you will not see me for dust. Well, let's anticipate, based on the limited information the scriptures give us about heaven, and if you want to read the final chapters of Revelation, there is some meat there for the soul. The splendor and the privilege of being with the Lord Jesus forever, of him wiping away the tears from your eyes forever, of the incredible angelic hosts being with them forever, of no night there, of no pain, of no curse forever. Weigh that against the trials you go through now, and which do you think will be the weightier? The afflictions, he says, are light. The glory has an exceeding and eternal weight. I'm in no position to say this other than on the authority of God's word. But if we truly knew and understood even a fraction of the joy of heaven, you would face absolutely anything tomorrow. I wonder when I read of the martyrs in this land, when they were chained to stakes and set alight, how on earth did they go through with it? Well, we know, as your day, so thy strength. But I suspect the likes of Cranmer and Ridley and Latimer and Hooper had an understanding of heaven, which meant even to die such a dreadful death is a light affliction compared to the glory which would be theirs within the hour. Therefore, whatever life throws our way, we will face it. We do not lose heart. I worry when I hear of Christians say things like, well, such and such a thing happened and it really shook my faith. Or, God allowed this to happen, and I really had to ask, why did he allow that? As though God owes any of us an easy time. He does not. Paul is not saying here, you are guaranteed a life of only light afflictions. He's saying those appallingly dreadful afflictions you have to go through are in fact light when you compare them to the exceeding weight of glory which is yours on that day he calls you home. Therefore, we do not lose heart. In verse 18, he says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Now that appears to be utterly illogical. If we can see something, we are likely to look at it. I can see there is an organ. It is a visible thing. I look at it. It is natural. He's saying actually, look at the things which are not seen. If you can see it, it is made of molecules. It is a part of this physical fabric we call the creation. But the physical world of which we are currently part is but temporal. It is passing away. I started by saying our bodies are fading away, but so is the entire natural world. It is reserved for fire. If it's made of molecules and atoms, it will not survive the heat of his coming. Paul says, do not focus on visible things. Do not build your faith on that which you can see. A pastor, a chapel, a family, a house, a job, a career. All of these things are fading away. But rather, behold those things which are not seen. Now, how do you look at something that's not seen? Through the eyes of faith. I believe, therefore I spoke. He spoke, therefore I believe. Do you believe in heaven? You've never seen it. You've never been. And let's be honest, the descriptions of it, though they are wonderful, they are a little bit on the short side. But you focus upon the Lord whom you cannot see. Turn your eyes upon Jesus and the things of this world will go strangely dim. When you look at this world, your faith wobbles. But when you look beyond it to the Lord Jesus, and in simple childlike faith, you behold the Lamb in all his glory, your faith is strengthened. For the things which are seen are temporary. If you can see it, it's physical and it's temporal. But he has promised to create a new heavens and a new earth wherein righteousness dwells. That we cannot see. We can read about it, but we cannot see it. But Paul is saying, what you cannot see is actually more real than what you can see. Now, the worldlings who drive past our chapel, if they were to catch a little bit of the sermon, would fall about laughing. You see, the world tells you that if you can see it, it's real. If you can't see it, it belongs to the world of make-believe. How many of us have had a dream or maybe a nightmare? And whilst we were dreaming it, the dream felt so real. If it didn't feel real, we wouldn't wake up in that sweat. Because while in it, the dream appears to be real, no matter how ludicrous the plot. And then you wake up and you think, it was just a dream. This is not a dream. But compared to the finality of the heavenly state, we are right now just having a dream. Those pews feel real and hard. This sermon might feel long. The rain outside, if it returns, may feel cold. But it's a temporal reality. It is passing away. If the rain and the chapel and all the rest of it is but temporal and passing away, so too the affliction. So too the heartache. So too the grief. So too the fear. So too the trepidation. Therefore, we do not lose heart. That is the message tonight. That is the message for Paul to the people of Corinth all those years ago. It's the message of the Holy Spirit, I pray tonight, to those of us who are here. Just let me read that text again. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Amen. Let's spend a few moments pondering that. We'll sing, and then we'll have an open time for prayer or scripture reading. But let's just spend a few moments of quiet pondering those words of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The last time I looked up in the upper room, there was an old book. Some of the works of a man called John Bunyan. John Bunyan was a tinker by trade. And he wrote a most excellent book called The Pilgrim's Progress and many others beside. But John Bunyan, living in the 17th century, spent a number of years, at least over 12, I think, in jail. You see, he was a Baptist, and it was illegal to be a Baptist back then. And because he preached, and because he prayed without reading it from a book, they sent him to jail. He had a young wife, he had children. But he couldn't see them because he was languishing in Bedford jail. And I've often thought, how did he manage? I suspect that which tonight we have read, he believed. No lecture for him, no intellectual analysis of the text, but he lived it out. And 435 was in part written by him. Let's sing 435 together and then we'll have an open time. 435.
Oh,
Amen. As many as will.
Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the reality of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honour at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all its glory. So put to death the simple earthly things that are lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshipping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world, but now it is time to get rid of anger, rage, malice, behaviour, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you are stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him in this new life. It doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. Since God chose you to be holy people He loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as a member of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Father, we thank you tonight that your word is alive and active. Lord, make it real in us more and more and more, that we would know you more as we live in you day by day. Help us, Lord, to live holy lives for your glory, to live the word through your Holy Spirit. We ask
Amen.
Yes, Lord, I pray that your church will be filled with your Spirit, so that they can talk naturally about the eternal matters, Lord, and they can bring eternity to a skeptical world, Lord, that doesn't have eternal matters on its mind, Lord. We just pray that more and more people can be exposed to your word, your truth. We just pray that you'd use even us to reach our fellow man, because the time is short. Evangelism is urgent. We are here for just a brief time, Lord. In that time, we have to make the decision between life and death forever, Lord. And so many people are relegated forever to a nothingness, Lord. And we need to just say what we believe. Be open about it, but it's difficult, but we need to be open and brave and go and not shrink away, Lord, because we're not promised an easy life, and times will be hard sometimes, but with your strength we can do anything. And we just pray that your Spirit will work in us, through us, and just work on this nation, on this needy nation, Lord, on this needy world.
Lord. Help us to be pilgrims, Lord. Help us to seek your face, Father. Help us to shine for you. Help us to die well. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Just be reading, Lord. Help us not to lose heart, Lord. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Father, just help us to realize, Lord, that you are with us, Lord. You are guiding us, Lord. You are helping us day by day. And Lord, whatever affliction that we might go through, help us to realise it's only for a moment, Lord, because you are working for us for a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So help us not to look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are seen are eternal. Oh, Father, we just thank you, Father. Thank you for loving us so much. Thank you that you loved us so much, Lord, that you sent your only begotten Son to die in our room and our stead, Lord. He was willing. He was willing to go to Calvary and to die for our sins. He bore all our sins. Oh, Father, we thank you and we praise you. Father, help us, Lord. Help each one of us, Lord, to be shining lights for you, Lord, that we might be able to tell others, Lord, of your great love and your mercy and your grace towards us, Lord. We thank you and we praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He brings the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth useless. Scarcely shall they be planted. scarcely shall they be sown. Scarcely shall their stock take root in the earth, when he also will blow on them, and they will wither, and the whirlwind will take them away like stubble. To whom then will you liken me? Or to whom shall I be equal? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things, who brings out their hosts by number. He calls them all by name, by the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Four, three, two. Dost defend us with thy spirit. We know we at the end shall life inherit. Then fancies flee away. We'll fear not what men say. We'll labour night and day to be pilgrims. Amen.